I'm not looking to get you to think more or less of me, or to get you mad at me, or to try to change your way of thinking or change my way of thinking, but just to make this statement out loud is, I'm not much of a guy to go camping. And I know that that may offend some of you that just love camping. I've never really been camping much, if any, and I've never really appreciated it to some levels that some of you appreciate camping. Cheryl, on the other hand, can be one who would appreciate camping. She grew up camping with her family vacations, many of the pictures, the old 8mm slides where Dad can run them backwards and you're jumping up into the tree instead of down the tree. This generation, you got some good technology, but you ain't got nothing for family movie night. Until you see the voiceless 8mm film and the laugh of Dad running it backwards and watching you jump back up in the tree, you're just, I don't care what kind of iPad you got, you're missing it. And all those 8mm slides from Cheryl's family have camping in it, and an old truck camper that they had, and just all kinds of good experience in camping. And so Cheryl had often talked about camping. And so just recently, last year, I acquired a camper. I thought maybe I would really make her day. And so I acquired a camper, and here's the camper that I acquired. She said the same thing. She wasn't totally impressed with the camper that I had acquired for her. Or maybe we could go camping. Now, I took pictures only of the outside because the inside's a little sketchy. The outside is the good part. That's the selling part. And I took pictures of the backside because the front side is just a little more sketchy than the backside. You got to sell the thing. You know what I mean? So you take the best pictures that you can. I said, don't worry, honey. We'll cut all the bad stuff and we'll rehab this camper. So I cut out all the bad stuff. But it's a little rough to lay on now. And so we needed to add back some of the stuff because that's not really camping. I was informed that's not really camping. So we began to add some stuff back to it. And I include this picture. Look how she's smiling over here in the corner. She's happy. Not so much. But... So we started adding back to this camper, and here we added more, and then we added some more, and then we added some more, and then we added some more, and we worked on the inside some, and then we added some more, and there it is. And then we sold it. As I read Psalm 127, I think God's in the same business. He's a tiny house builder. He's a big house builder. He's a camper rehabber. He'll take you all the way down to your frame. Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, its builder labor in vain. Now that tells me one thing, that he would build the house. So the offer is out there. Unless you let God build the house, you're going to work at it, and you're going to work at it, and you're going to work at it, but it's not going to live up to what you think it's going to live up to. But the Lord is willing to help and build the house. The Lord, the master builder, the consuming fire, he wants to build your house. He wants to build you. The deliverer, the El Shaddai, you can push the button. The merciful God, the truth, the light, the God of love wants to build. He's offering his building skills into your life. He said, no, I'm not going to force myself into your life. Unless I help you, it's not going to look too good. But I'm willing to help. I'm willing to step with you. I'm willing to build your house. I'm willing to invest time in you. I come as the master builder. I come as the consuming fire, which is always healthy when you're rehabbing something. A little fire goes a long way to get rid of what you're taking off. And God said, I can take that and I can deliver you, and I am El Shaddai, and I am the merciful God, and I am truth, and I am light, and I am the God of love, and I am willing to get my hands into your life. Will you let me get you? Now again, I'm not going to force it, but I'm offering that. Will you let me get my hands into your life? The Lord has made an offer to us. And he says this, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. He said, I want to build you. I want to build you. I want to that word builds means build, to rebuild, and to be building. It means all of that. It doesn't matter if you're just a frame or if you're an old camper. He said, I will rebuild you. You might be this. Push the button. You might be this. Or 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 you might be this. But you ain't that. Because you ain't done. He said, I am willing to build. I'm willing. The Lord, he says, the master builder. The loving God says, I will assist you in building your life or rebuilding your life. It doesn't matter if you're an old camper and you've screwed up your life and you got so much garbage in your life. God says, I know, and I'm still making that offer to you. I'm young and I don't really know which way I want to turn yet. God says, I know, and that offer is you, to you. I'm making that offer. I want to be a part of your life. Psalm 139 says this, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Push the button. It was not when I was made in the secret place. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. And then Psalm 139 says this, my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know how I can be the master builder in your life? Because I wrote the blueprint. And I'm willing to come in. If all you got is a frame, hallelujah. If all you are is an old camper, hallelujah. And if you're halfway in between, hallelujah. But what I'm telling you right now, God says, you ain't done. I want to build some more. And I want to build and rebuild and build and rebuild and build and rebuild. God is in the same business. God wants to build us. And it goes on to, in Psalm 127, it says this. Again, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. He said, God says, you know what? Not only do I build, but I protect my building sites. So I'm not expecting you to protect what I'm building. I'll do the protecting. Don't think that you have to protect it. I will protect you. I will protect the city. I will protect what I put out there. Hosea 1:7 has popped up in my life several times in the last couple weeks. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah or to my people, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horse or horseman, but by the Lord their God. I will save them. If I need to protect your building project that I'm doing in your life, I can do it. I don't have to strengthen your bows. I don't have to strengthen your tools. I don't have to strengthen your horsemen. I don't have to strengthen your labor skills. I don't have to strengthen any of that. I can just say it and it happens. But then he says this in 2 Samuel. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. You pursue my enemies and crush them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. And at times, God's going to strengthen your own hands. At times, he says this to, the next slide says this. It says this to Moses. Sometimes you just need to chill and let me work. And other times you need to take my strength and make it work. I got you. I'm building you. And I will continue to build you. And I will protect what I'm building. And sometimes I'm going to give you mighty strength that you don't think you have. But you got more than what you think you got, son and daughter of the Most High God. I don't know if I can get by this situation in my life. I don't know if I can get by this addiction. I don't know if I can get by this sin. I don't know if I can get by this wounding. I don't know if I can get by this abuse and that scar. Oh, yes, you can, because the living God says you can. He said, I'll build you and I'll protect you. And then he says in verse 2 of that same psalm, he says this, in vain you rise early and stay up light, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You know what my translation? You're on one giant hamster wheel. And you're running your guts out and you're going nowhere. Not only are you trying to build your own life, and not only are you trying to protect your own life, but now you're trying to fill your own life with a bunch of crap. So you got a broken down house, unprotected, full of stuff. And at times we like to blame God. God says, thank you, but no, thank you. I'm offering to come build your life. I'm offering to protect your life. I'm offering to get you off the hamster wheel. You keep working and working for things that do not satisfy. More stuff, different hobbies, more different relationships, a different job. I just need something different. I just need more, different, more, different, more, different, more. No, God said, no, you need to get off the hamster wheel. And I'm willing to take you off the hamster wheel. What you're hungering for, God says, is me. And you keep trying to fill it with stuff. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. He's planted eternity in the human heart. Know what that means? He's planted himself in the human heart. And you keep trying to fill it with stuff because you're on some kind of cultural hamster wheel. And what you really want is me, because I put that in your heart. I want to build and rebuild and keep building, and I want to fill you and fill you and fill you. I want to build you and rebuild you and keep building and fill and fill and fill. I want to fill you. That passage also says, that verse also says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toil for food to eat, for he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. Just so you know, you're in those he loves category. It's not a hierarchy with God. Well, he loves some of you. Sorry, he doesn't love this section. He loves the middle, and he loves this section, but he doesn't love... Just sorry, you're like on the left. He talks about center, and he talks about right, but he never talks about the left. Sorry. But the reality is God loves. And God loves. It's not a special person or a special environment or a special family or a special seat. It's not something. It's God's love for you. Jude says this, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you the full gamut of eternal life. It's not if God loves you. Keep yourself in that love. we heard last week. Lean into God. Open up to his working. Venture into worship. Exercise discipline. Push the button. Which one did you choose for your phone this week? God says, keep yourself in my love. I love you. Will you step? Will you lean into me? Will you be open to any way that I want to build your house? God, you can build my house, but leave this room out of it. And I need this room, and I need this room. I need it this color, and I need this, and I need this cupboard, and I need this. And God says, no, wait a minute. Who has the blueprints? Are you open to where I want to build your house? I love you. Keep yourself in that love, he says. And venture into worship. Dive into worship. You know what the problem is with the church of today in America? We toe-dip worship. Because we're scared of where worship will take us. And exercise discipline. God is saying, I will build, rebuild, and continue to build and fill you. And then there's a space between verses 2 of 127 and verse 3. Because verse 3 starts off, and as I read it, I'm saying, what? That didn't even seem to make sense with what you're talking about in the first half. God is saying, I want to build you. I want to rebuild you. I want to continue to build you. But look what he says in verse 3. Sons are heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. I'm saying that space between 2 and 3 must have some more verses. Just, maybe you get it. I don't get that at first. That just seems to be this giant leap from one scripture to the other. And we never question it, right? Wait, well, God wrote it, that's the way it is. I think we should question it. Say, God, what are you saying there? What's going on there? You just said you want to build me, you want to rebuild me, you want to continue to build me, and you want to protect me, and you want to fill me, and fill me, and fill me, and you love me, and then all of a sudden we jump to kids. Sons are heritage from the Lord, and children are reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of the warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man who has a quiver, whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemy in the gates. And as I just pondered that, I was like, there's some big benefits to the next generation. See, I don't think he's talking about biological children. Because what happens if someone decides not to have any children? Are you host? Maybe you can't have any children. Maybe you have the gift of singleness. I'm thinking, God, what is going on here? You want to fill me and fill me and fill me, and you want to build me and build me and build me and rebuild me, and you want to protect me, and you want to show much how much you love me, but in the end of my life, I'm hosed because I got no kids. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's talking about the next generation. John says this in 3 John. He says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Just so you know, John is not talking about biological children. He's talking about the next generation. Now, is it a good news when your kids walk with the Lord? Absolutely. But it's better news when the whole generation walks with the Lord. And he said there's going to be benefits. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 127, that you breathe into the next generation, and then that generation is going to breathe back into you. It's a pretty incredible moment. to know that God has given us this journey that he wants us to be on. And he doesn't want us just to experience this building and this rebuilding and this filling and this protection and this love, but he wants us to be able to pass it on to the next generations and understand how beneficial it is to that generation. And understand that when that generation grabs on, they don't leave the generation in the rearview mirror that passed it on to them. That's beautiful right there. Verses 1 and 2, someone who is living this greatest success, the greatest success, God building and rebuilding and filling. Verses 3 through 5, as the second greatest success, demonstrating the passing of the first greatest success to the next generation. Does that make sense this morning? He said, I'm not just building your house for you. And I'm not just filling your house for you. And I'm not just taking your old broken down camper and rehabbing it for you. I'm doing that because I love you, but I'm also doing that because I love the next generation. And I want you to carry it to the next generation. I find it very interesting that in our culture we try to separate the generations. And we have generation, the silent generation, right? Push the button. We have the silent generation. We have the baby boomers, and then we're the Xers or the busters, they call it, the Y generation, the Z generation, the Alpha generation. And we're always pointing out the differences of every generation and creating this division in generations. They don't understand me. And I don't care if you're an old person saying that to the new person, or the new saying that to the old. Don't you find it very interesting that we always are trying to categorize people? You're this, or you're tall, or you're dark skinned, or you're light skinned, or you're in this generation, or you're in that generation. And God says, you know what I want to do? I want to breathe into this generation so you can breathe into the next generation, because you got something for them. And guess what? They got something for you too. This beautiful picture of the generations interacting with each other. That's God. I'm not sure what happens when you get the Alpha generation in the same room with the silent generation. Unless the silent generation has been built and rebuilt and filled and protected and experienced the love of God. And they can pour it into the next generation. Isaiah 44 says this. But now listen, O Jacob, or chosen people of God, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who has made you and formed you in the womb and who will help you, do not be afraid, O chosen people of God, my servant Jeshurun, which means upright. It's a nickname. Whom I have chosen, for I will, listen, I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on dry ground. You're an old camper. Hang on. I've got a whole bucket of divine water, and I'm going to pour that onto you. And it's going to absolutely transform your life. This is what I'm going to do, chosen people of God. This is what I want to do in your life. I want to fill you. I want to build you. I want to protect you. And I want to pour this massive dose of divine water on you, on the dry ground. Well, God, I'm not really, I know you're dry. That's why you need my water. And I want to do that, and I want to do that. Look what the next verse says. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring. And my blessing on your descendants. I'm going to do that, he said. And just so we completely know, that's not tied to only Israel. That's tied to the chosen people of God. and I'm going to pour water on you, and it's going to run off of you, and it's going to run into brand new grandsons. Because that's the kind of God I am. Look at the next verse of Isaiah 44. They, that's the generation that just received the blessing from the previous generation, because God had poured the water on the dry grounds of the previous generation, and they didn't hoard it. They let it run off of them and into the next generation. That's the they. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Can you imagine your son or daughter say, Dad, I just need you to know something. I belong to the Lord. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, generation before me, that you showed me what it looked like to be built by God, to be filled by God. Thank you for taking that dry water, that water on that dry ground that wasn't handed to you, but you received that generation, and now you're pouring it out onto the next generation. I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob, or chosen one. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's. How about it, Trinity? His. The Lord's, and will take the name of the chosen one. That's what happens when this generation receives the building and the rebuilding and the continued building and the filling of God, and experiences him pouring water onto dry ground and rehabbing us into a full-blown real life, off the hamster wheel into a real life with God, experiencing his love and running off of us into the next generation. God will build. Push the button. God will build, rebuild, continue to build, and fill us. And we will get to show the next generation what that looks like. Just so you know, I text that to the prayer warrior this week. And this is what I got back. Good afternoon. Yes, exactly. Building is very prominent in the scripture. Edifying is a synonym. Creating is related. Satan steals and kills and destroys and lies. He does not build or edify or create or speak truth. The contrast is clear. Everything God builds reflects his character to us and to the future generation. What he builds is eternal, not temporary. That's good stuff. So this generation, will we receive that from God? That we can give it out to the next generation? Jeremiah 31 says this, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know what that means? And I haven't stopped. I have loved you with a love that does not stop. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel, or those who get another shot at life. Again, you will take up your tambourines, and you will go out to dance with the joyful. You know what I want this morning? You know what this whole table's full of? Discount love from the dollar store. Don't you just love it when you get a whole table of love for like 3 cents? And God says, you know what? I got a whole bunch of love that just hasn't been picked up yet. Are you willing to pick it up? because it's still on the discount table. Let me tell you, if it's discounted, doesn't mean it didn't come with a great cost. It just means it's still on the table because you haven't picked it up. He wants you to pick it up. Push the button, please. I need somebody in the 55 and older generation to say, God, build me, rebuild me, continue to build me, and fill me. I need someone right now to come get this. 55 and older. 55 and older. I need someone in my generation to come get it. You know what else I need? I need you to take that to someone in the generation below you. Give it to a young person. Because that's what God does. He not only hands you love, but he hands you love to give to the next generation. I need another 55 and older in the room. I need you to receive his love in such a way that you can give it to someone in the next generation. Find someone in the room. How about someone else, 55 or older, my generation? Receive his love and give it to the next generation. That's what he wants you to do. I need someone else, 55 and older. One thing he doesn't do is give you this and you give out this. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Fifty-five and older, anyone else? I just need to receive his love and give it to the next generation. Fifty-five and over, it's your day. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. I saw that hand. You know when the pastor's up front said, I see that hand. Guess what? God sees that hand. Someone else in my generation, 55 and older, in Jesus' name, receive that love. In Jesus' name, give it to the next generation. God doesn't expect you to give out anything he doesn't give you. And he will build your house. I love it. And give it to the next generation. Discount love in action. Someone else. I saw that. In Jesus' name, give it to the next generation. Amen. In Jesus' name, receive that love and give it to the next generation. I got a call this week, said we got a whole bunch of discount boxes of candy. If you can use it for a sermon, have at it. And I said, oh, baby, get it on the table. I can use anything for a sermon. Someone else, discount love. Love from God. Ooh. I'm going to build you, brother. And I'm going to rebuild you. And I'm going to fill you. And you're going to give it to the next generation. We're going to expand it out here a little bit. 40 and above. 40-year-olds, you got a job too. Just so you know, I have 50 boxes of this stuff. And I am not leaving here until it's all gone. Don't worry, the Steelers aren't playing. They don't even have a quarterback yet. Receive his love, brother. Give it to the next generation. Forty and above. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Receive his love. He's building you, brother.
receive his love, sweet, and give it to the next generation. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Five more. Receive his love. She's whining because she's 40 and above and I'm her father. Receive his love and give it to the next generation. Who else? Receive his love and give it to the next generation. I love this one. It's good to be a princess. I need a lady to come 40 and over because it's good to be royalty. It's good to be royalty. Woo, it's good to be his princess. Keep that one. Give it to the next generation. Two more, then I'll pray, I promise. Receive his love, brother. Over and over, build and rebuild and continue to build and fill you up and give it to the next generation. Jeff is double dipping. I love it. Give it to the next generation. Generation after us, you can trust us because we're going to be built and rebuilt and we're going to be building and we're going to be filled and we're going to give it to you. Stand with me today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and we say, build us, Father. You have offered, unless, I know, we can go on the vain part of that. We can go on the building part of that, but I just want to go on the divine offer that you would build us, that you would rebuild us, that you will take the old campers in the room, and you will strip away and you'll build new. And Father, you'll take some that are in the middle of a building project and you'll add the next layer. Layer after layer after layer. And Father, then we get to say, I want to pour it out. I am pouring it out to the next generation. Father, I thank you so much for that. I thank you for this truth today. Help us to be generational believers and followers of Jesus. Father, thank you for that. We're going to leave here now. The church is going to leave the building. And it's going to remain the building. And we're going to remain the church. So as we go into this afternoon, may you speak clearly to us. And may you grab us and may we grab you. And may we let the rehab or the building process continue in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.